War Room. Here comes Owen Schroyer.
All right, coming up next is going to be James O'Keefe in studio. That's going to be fun. Really, really appreciate James as a person. And, of course, the work he's done over the years speaks for itself. But, you know, he's got a bunch of big news he's going to break here. And then also, you know, he did go to the Epstein mansion. So he can talk about a little bit of that. You know, with, like, Satan-worshipping books and stuff. Ah, they got the little Moloch statue on the temple. They claimed it was for recording music, guys. Yeah. Music, huh? Okay. So, we got that coming up. I do have other news. We're going to get to this other news. Folks, remember to support us, though, if you like this show, if you like the fact that we're actually expanding our shows. We added a nighttime show a couple times a week featuring Chase Geyser that comes on an hour after me. We just added a weekend show. I believe it's going to debut tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Central with Brianna Morello. This is all thanks to your support at thealexjonesstore.com. And right now, the big sale we're pushing is the new Dagger. Now, this is what it comes in. Very nice, high-quality box. You can see that. We want the whole thing, presentation, everything to be very nice for you. And so this is the box it comes in with the silver Alex Jones signature in it. And, of course, then the high-quality Dagger inside. And, you know, it's actually funny that I talk about this and mentioning Brianna's show tomorrow, displaying this beautiful Dagger that you can get limited edition with Alex's signature on it. Very high quality. It's funny because Brianna, and she kind of talked about this, she had a little bit of a run-in with a creep at her apartment a couple weeks ago. And then there was actually a killing not long after that. She thought she was going to have to defend herself. She might need a Dagger. Maybe I should actually send this to her as a little welcoming gift for joining the team. But yeah, if you need it for self-defense, if you're a lady out there and, you know, you just want to have a little extra self-defense on you, something easy to conceal, easy to carry, if you just are a collector of all of our limited edition items, if you have other uses for daggers and knives, you can get this right now, limited edition, while supplies last, at thealexjonesstore.com. We're very proud of this high-quality Dagger. We know you will like it as well. And, of course, you support this transmission to keep us on the air and now expanding, if you can believe that, against all odds. So we really appreciate that. So whether it's our health supplements, whether it's our apparel, our limited edition items, thealexjonesstore.com, that's how you support us. And remember, when you shop at thealexjonesstore.com, you get multiple entries into our raffles and giveaways. Right now, that is the Ford F-250 Lariat truck in the powder blue. Very, very big, beautiful truck. So that's the raffle giveaway right now. The only way to win is by shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. And, of course, that is how you support us as well. And actually, forgot to mention, this is happening this weekend. We do have a sale, at least 25% off site-wide sale today through the weekend. All of our supplements, T-shirts, hats, knives, and limited edition silver coins, at least 25% off. If you want an even bigger savings, join the Alex Jones VIP Club at alexjonesstore.com/VIP, where you can get the products at the best price year-round and $40 store credit every month. It's all happening at thealexjonesstore.com. We thank you for your continued support. All right. Did you hear about Stephen Colbert? I guess they're shutting down his show. So, you know, old Stephen Colbert, we remember one of the classic moments from Stephen when he was singing a rendition of Gautier, Nothing Strange About This at All, in clip 7. Totally normal, as he seems more excited than ever in that picture to be with John Podesta. So, Stephen, I'm sure he'll be back.
Please remember that this broadcast is only as powerful as you make it. When you share the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X, on your email list or text message, on other platforms, word of mouth on X, it changes the world. When you share the feed from Infowars.com/show, it changes the world. So remember, Paul Revere's, you're not part of the solution. You are the solution. You're everything. When you share the live feed, when you share the clips of the show, when you send that out to everyone you know, that's the reach, the amplification. That is 99% of this operation. You are the whole shooting match. And the InfoWar is everything. And you are the mind, the bones, the guts, the blood, the will, the soul of the InfoWar. So release your will and power now. Destroy them.
Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
FBI agents told the flag Jeffrey Epstein records about Trump. So now the Democrats are digging into all of this, making their own claims. Well, yeah, I mean, of course. This thing is getting messier by the day. Messier by the day. And it didn't have to be this way. And so now the Trump administration and Tulsi Gabbard just came out with a statement. And now they're going after the Obama administration for the Russian collusion hoax and Spygate. And so, look, that needs to be done. And part of the problem here is that you haven't arrested the deep state. Part of the problem here is that you didn't arrest the deep state in your first term. So you can talk again and throw this red meat out to people and say, look what they did to Trump. He's the victim here. Look, the Democrats, Obama committed crimes. Yeah, we're well aware. Why aren't they in cuffs? I mean, for the love of God, folks, the House Oversight Committee and the House Judiciary Committee has the flowchart of money from foreign countries and foreign companies to the Biden crime family right into the Biden bank accounts. And they show all the money moving around and everybody getting their cut. And the emails and the text and the Hunter Biden laptop. Where are the arrests? So I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about any of this deep state stuff that you're throwing on the table for us. I want to see arrests. And until you start arresting people, nothing is going to change. Period. That's it. I mean, you want to talk about, look, if you want people to stop talking about Epstein, I'll give you the solution right now. I'll give you the $10 million advice that apparently Susie Wiles isn't good enough, smart enough to give you. Start arresting people. Tell your friends at Fox News to have the cameras ready and start arresting people. There you go. Start doing raids on their house like they did to Roger Stone and so many others. Start arresting deep state criminals. You want people to stop talking about Epstein? You want something that's not just some red meat you're expecting us to chew on or a lollipop you want us to lick or a boot you want us to clean? Start arresting deep state criminals. That'll take the story off of Epstein. And one man who's exposed plenty of deep state criminals is James O'Keefe, who joins me in studio now. I can't even do really a proper introduction.
Hello there.
Because we're live. So James O'Keefe in studio. There you go. Why don't you give James a call and say, hey, you know, you got anybody maybe we should start investigating?
I'd love that.
Wouldn't you like that?
I'd love to interact with the audience.
Right here is your...
Perfect. Nice to see you again.
Get yourself set up. Get yourself comfortable. Get the cameras all ready.
Yep.
How are you doing?
Doing great. It's nice to see you in person.
Well, I can't help but want to ask you a million questions about going into the Epstein mansion.
Oh, man.
I know I know that you guys got a lot of other stuff. You just put out another big pharma video.
Yeah.
You got a lot of stuff going on with the deep state.
Let's talk about the Epstein mansion. Let's talk about those things. I don't think I've talked about that with you.
Let me start with it like this, because I think you're kind of like me where there's a certain vibe to things. Like when you go out and you do your undercover work, you kind of have to go with a little bit of a feel. Right? You have to go like, okay, when do I move in on this guy? Or maybe it's time to sit back or you know, maybe there's something here, we stick with this guy. Or, you know, and that's not something here, let's move on. You know, you kind of have to go with the feel. What was the feel like when you went into that mansion and started looking around? What did it did it feel like, hey, this is, there's something weird here, or was it just like hollow?
Well, that was given to us by a source who was there. So I didn't actually set foot. We didn't.
You were just reviewing
the
tape.
By me personally.
Gotcha.
This was something that was provided to us by a source. And this is the Epstein Island. And I can't disclose actually who or what the source was. I can't give any more information except they're with the government and they don't trust the current government. So this was the Epstein kitchen. There was like a weird photo of a baby like sucking on this thing. People have said it has meaning.
Was it like a Podesta art deal?
It was like a baby with a phallic object in its hand, and it was kind of creepy. It was like Epstein kitchen on St. James Island. There was images inside his temple. We finally got to see inside this weird, you know, blue and white building with the celestial ceiling. There was images of his bedroom. And we actually have names on the phone next to his bedroom. There you go. There it is.
That was the image in there?
In the kitchen. That was in the kitchen. The baby's holding on to some type of rattler. And you could see the reflection in the bronze sink. It almost looked like a man's hairy legs at first, but it was just a reflection. That was in the Epstein Island kitchen. We had broke these images. No one has ever seen this before. We broke them. I'm certain the FBI has them.
There's probably more out there.
There's more. We know there's more. I know because people in the FBI have talked to me, and then they went cold. And then just this past weekend, Owen, we had an FBI agent who did not know he was recorded, or not an agent. He was high up in the FBI, saying they've bungled this whole thing. They're not public. But the other images we published were in the Epstein library, and there was this chalkboard, and they have all these words on it, like power and deception. And there were statues with horns and satanic books. So we published all this stuff, and by the way, this information came to you not from the government, but from sources in the government. So that's where I think we're headed. I think if we're going to know the full truth, Owen, it has to be people inside the FBI, the CIA, or even a foreign intelligence community being incredibly brave and giving us the information directly.
Well, it's interesting you talk about how they're feeling behind the scenes. It seems to be reflected on how a lot of us are feeling outside
Correct.
Of the scenes. I mean, I don't know how you feel about the current administration. You're still doing undercover work. I mean, basically, I was told by Trump to F off.
When was that?
He said, if you're talking about Epstein, you're a weakling, you're pathetic. That was
recently?
Wednesday, yeah.
Did he say that to you directly?
No, he posted it on his X or on his True Social.
Tagging you?
He said anybody still talking about Epstein is weak, pathetic, loser.
But then yesterday, the president posted that. He said they're going to publish some of this stuff. He directed Bondi.
Well, Bondi was supposed to release the grand jury testimony today. It's now 5:12 East Coast. We've got nothing.
Did they say they're going to do it today?
Yes.
Oh. Well, I you know, you and I have both been in the clinker and been targeted by the government, and I always bring this up every week. They did close my case, but they released that affidavit, and they redacted everything. I mean, they redacted every word of the probable cause. So what the Department of Justice could do is simply release they have the power to release these redactions on the affidavits.
I'm wondering, because I don't know how Bongino sticks around much longer. I feel like he's going to have the same realization Psaki had, which is the longer I stay here, every day that goes by, I'm losing trust, I'm losing integrity. How do I go back to
the
audience?
He had a good deal with his podcast. Yeah. And
he sacrificed it all.
Yeah, as a deputy director, it's probably more of an administrative role. And these institutions, they seem to just protect themselves. They preserve their own. It's not about helping you or getting the truth out. They're a law enforcement organization, the FBI is, and they have to protect their confidential informants and all that. I mean, they were confidential informants at my organization, Project Veritas. And all those black lines, beneath those black lines, are the names of confidential FBI informants. So they can't release that, they would say. I mean, I would argue that the public's right to know in the Epstein case outweighs the FBI's need to protect their sources and methods. We just need transparency.
Well, it would be an interesting thing because when the first Epstein sweetheart deal, they said all co-conspirators are exonerated. And so you wonder then, well, were the co-conspirators government agents?
Right.
Or were they just other rich billionaires that they just cut a deal and they struck them from the record?
And that's what they're protecting. They're protecting their sources and methods, right?
That was actually, yes, literally that's the quote.
That's what I mean, and I know this only because I speak from personal experience as a corollary in my deal. I mean, every single word of this probable cause. Not. I mean, they even redacted the little numbers. Oh, that's from our report. You're showing video inside Epstein's. This is the bed he slept on Epstein's Island. That's his phone.
It had a speed dial on it?
There's a speed dial. I think he's.
Man, you know what? You guys are so good. I actually thought you were in the room when I was watching.
You know, we have a massive LED. This is a very expensive screen. It makes it look like you're there. But I'm standing next to a screen. But there's a phone. That's the thing on his dresser.
Oh, so they were probably doing lobotomies in there, too.
He believed in something called phrenology. There's the phone with the speed dial. And there's names on that phone. And I don't know if you can get a zoom in on that. There's an image of there. I can give it to you. But there's speed dial. Those are the glasses he wore in the deposition sitting next to his bedside table. You're looking at images that O'Keefe Media, OMG, broke in May. And this is the bed that Epstein slept in. And these images were, there we go. So these are the people that he speed dialed. We had the full names of all these individuals. You're trying to tell me that there's no evidence that any of those people were accessories before the fact or after the fact with all these children videos? That they knew nothing about that? That seems unlikely.
Well, you may remember, you guys do so much work at Project Veritas, you probably don't have the time to go through all the media like I do. It was Kash Patel in the campaign cycle that said, you got to let cops be cops. In other words, you know, let them go investigate this, specifically talking about Epstein stuff. Let him go investigate. I mean, that's what it is. Who's investigating this? Who's following up? Who's looking for the names? Who's looking for the clients? I mean, is anybody doing it, or are they just telling you to shut up? It sounds like from what you're saying, they're frustrated.
I think they're that's right. Well, here's a question. So the FBI agent, we released this recording last weekend, and the FBI director of national intelligence, I think this is crazy. They're hiding stuff. Why are they saying this? And they're not like, I'm not recording them in the bureau. I'm not recording them in a skiff. This is being recorded in open places. Why are they saying all this stuff to total strangers and not telling the American people?
Kind of like Bondi.
And that's the story we did on, are you referring to the story we did on Bondi when she was in the restaurant? There's the chalkboard, by the way. That's the Epstein chalkboard. I tried to decipher what this means. I hope many of you could figure this out.
It looks like... Honestly, it looks like intelligence agency propaganda strategy to me. That's what it looks like.
I think it's a dark brain or dank brain on the lower. I think it's dark brain, mirror and face. These are all words written by Epstein on his chalkboard. That's from his library. And this was provided to me by a source who was on the island there in right around the time of his arrest. So going back to Bondi. So she's in a restaurant. She's disclosing to a self-described nanny, a stranger, that there are tens of thousands of video featuring children. And she says this 9 days prior to going public. We bring the video to the attorney general and we ask for comment, Owen. And they said, well, I want to know exactly what you know, O'Keefe. That's what they said to me. I said, well, you know, if you're a reporter, it's like, do you really want to tell them exactly what you know? So I said, well, you know what? Okay, fine. So I send them all the quotes. And then literally right after that, they go to the White House and they go say exactly what I sent them. So the question I have is, why was this information shared to people in restaurants before it was given to the American people? It's probably not a good look.
Well, the whole thing has been a bad look.
Yeah.
And when I think about if you zoom in on your story where Bondi is saying that, it's like, okay, there's clearly a desire somewhere to
there
get to the bottom of this.
That's April 28th. That was 9 days before she said the exact same thing at the White House on May 7th.
So there's clearly a desire with agents inside of these government
Correct.
Institutions.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, that's a good point. They actually do believe that there's a story there. You're right. But they'll only say it privately. That's interesting. They don't want to say it. But my point is just, if you're going to be in the Department of Justice, you have a responsibility to, frankly, you do need to keep secrets if you're in a criminal investigator, if you're an intelligence agent. You can't be blabbing about these things in public. And if you're going to blab, then you might as well blab about it in a microphone. If you're going to blab about it, you might as well be consistent.
She's the one that wrote on the binder, most transparent administration ever.
Yeah, this was not handled well. And I don't think there's any good outcome here. And even if they do provide, take away the redactions, I don't think it's going to satisfy people because people are going to wonder what's behind the remaining redactions. So we're in a tough spot.
No, you have to have arrests, period. You have to have deep state arrests. You have to have trials.
I think you need to have arrests, and I don't have a lot of faith that'll happen, by the way.
I have 1%.
I don't have faith in that. I do have faith in something else. I think that because you've been arrested, I've been arrested, you know, people like reporters are arrested. I have faith that the truth will come out. Just like the Bondi restaurant recording on the FBI agent last weekend. I think that when there's so many lies, I think that people on the inside, you're going to have a ballsy guy like an Ed Snowden or something like that, and they're going to have all this data, and they're going to dump it. Or they're going to go public. And they're going to, by the way, they're going to get crucified. Sorry.
Yeah, they'll be fleeing.
They'll literally be killed, crucified, end up in a hole like Julian Assange, flee the country, then they'll be called a traitor. I mean, you know the drill. Their life will be destroyed. Their pension will be destroyed. But I do think that times are a-changing, and I think that that truth is going to come out. It might not lead to arrests, but we'll know the truth. I believe that.
You know, here's another angle I don't really hear too much chatter about. I haven't really brought it up too much, but we do know for a fact. I don't know. Was there anything that you saw in the Epstein Island mansion as far as, like, videotapes and recording devices?
No.
So that came out in the Florida case that his Florida mansion had. It was all wired. It all had video, audio recording, everything. So Bonnie comes out and she talks about, well, it's all this, you know, it's all this, these kiddie porn videos. So, you know, the whole thing is so sordid, but it's like the question here is obvious then. You know, if Epstein is raping kids, which we know he was already convicted of the plea agreement in Florida with the minors, then the question is obvious. Where is he getting the kids?
Yeah.
Like, where are the kids coming from?
You can't do all this alone. And the DOJ last Wednesday putting out that memo saying there is no evidence. Anytime I hear the words there's no evidence, I immediately have red flags because there's always a story. Now, it may not be the story that your audience wants. The only thing I'll say is this might not, because our imaginations tend to conjure up, right, all these hypotheticals. But they're definitely, to your point, you can't do all that activity without having a co-criminal. And so we shall see.
Now, when you were, let me ask you another question. When you were arrested going through your legal stuff, were those federal charges?
Yeah.
Did they
multiple
take,
times.
Did
multiple
they times. Did they take your passport?
In 2010, when I was arrested by the FBI, I'd lost my passport. So there was no passport for them to take.
But they wanted to take
yes.
it.
Yes.
So part of your deal at that time was you couldn't travel.
Correct.
Yeah,
so I was on federal probation for 3 years.
Yeah, so I went through the same thing. Did you know when Epstein got charged and he was waiting trial, do you know he got to leave and go to Israel and stay there?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I'm just sitting here because I see a lot of people covering this and they've just never been through the federal system like you or I have. So they don't have that experience.
How many days did you spend in jail? How long were you in there for?
Well, on my actual sentence, it didn't end up being the full 60, but the sentence was 60 days. I was arrested 4 times. I was arrested on 4 different occasions.
4 different times related to the same cause of action or something?
4 different times for politics. But obviously the final sentence was they just kind of combined
what
all.
Final, what was the final sentence, the crime that they accused you of?
Misdemeanor trespassing, standing on government property.
Mine was a misdemeanor entry by false pretense. This is a long time ago. But
so
yeah.
Both misdemeanor, lesser trespassing.
Class B misdemeanor.
Yeah.
But you know, when you're an enemy of the state, they tend to.
Yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, people don't realize how it works. They take your passport.
You get the travel ban.
I couldn't leave without permission from a judge, a U.S. attorney, a probation officer.
Yep. How much did they do the drug test on you too?
I had to go to Paterson, New Jersey, and go to, this is horrible. And I had to do drug. I don't do drugs, but all the time.
Yeah, I never had any drug charges. They drug test me every month.
Randomly. And they'd come to my house and with like a
yeah, the home visits
like
yeah.
a black like a caravan of black SUVs.
They got the gloves on and the.
And my father was like, "What the hell is wrong with you people? Like, you've got criminals on Wall Street. Like, why are you harassing my son like for 3 years over a misdemeanor?" And I could kind of tell by the people that were doing this that they kind of were following orders. They didn't like it.
Yeah.
And the FBI agents in my home too.
I think I had a similar experience. It was like after the first couple of times, they kind of felt bad to an extent. They felt like, this is unnecessary.
But the honest ones will say, I've got my pension. I got my house in the Poconos. I make $130 a year. I don't want to, you know, shake the hornet's nest. And that's just how people are. And the recent FBI thing with me with the They did close the case this year. This is the Ashley Biden diary thing. And the Trump.
That's a wild one.
That's a crazy story I've told so many times. And it's,
we don't have to get back into it.
No, but the point of it related to Epstein is they, when you for those of you who are not familiar with criminal procedure, it's very rare for the Southern District of New York, which is the Epstein case. It's very rare for them to close a case. That barely really happens in SDNY. It's a lot of egg on the prosecutor's face. So in my deal, they admitted there was no crime, which is highly unusual for the FBI to execute a warrant, a search warrant, raid your stuff, take your property, and then 4 years later close the case. But what's interesting is that they release the probable cause. When they admit that they have nothing, the law says you must release the affidavit. And they redacted every word of the probable
cause. The whole thing.
The entire section. They even,
so wait, but not even your legal team?
What
can
do you
get the document unredacted?
No, the only way to get it is I have to sue the Department of Justice. I have to go to the judge. I have to spend all this money. And I am.
Oh,
I'm going
gosh,
to do that.
But that's crazy.
This is so crazy that the American Civil Liberties Union, a left-wing group, and the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press, which includes Wolf Blitzer and Andrew Mitchell, these are not friends of yours.
Oh, nice. Very high integrity.
Or mine.
Yeah.
Are filing amicus in my case to get this thing unredacted. Because think of it this way. If the FBI is going to raid a newsroom, we got to know why. Like, what do you got? Like, what is the probable cause? But the point is, and I think it goes back to Epstein, is that if the FBI is using confidential informants and they're making stuff up, then to reveal this to your point, the whole thing would collapse. The whole system would collapse. They are showing their cards. They're showing, so you're asking the FBI to incriminate itself? These institutions are all about self-preservation. It's not even the child traffickers and the people that are blackmailed. It's just the system and the way they operate. You're asking it to indict itself. And these systems are about preserving themselves. So in my case, it's my personal case, it's a constitutional crisis. Because it's like, whoa, you're going to start raiding newsrooms in America, you better tell us why. It's again, Merrick Garland expressly forbids raiding newsrooms, but they just
and Obama actually passed that law where you actually have to go through extra steps,
yeah.
to go after a journalist.
But they just don't care. They don't. The prosecutor in New York said, "Well, O'Keefe's not a journalist."
That's what they did to me.
What they do in your case?
Exact same thing. Actually, there was a magistrate judge in D.C., Judge Faruqi, when they first indicted me. He actually scolded the DOJ and he said, "Hold on a second. You didn't go through the law." So the judge basically said, you illegally indicted a journalist. So they just came back with the exact same excuse and said, oh, he's not a journalist.
It's like Animal Farm. All animals are equal, but some are more equal than others. It's a Orwellian strategy. But the point is, yeah, in my case, the prosecutors were like, well, Keith's not a journalist. The federal judge, why is he not a journalist? And the U.S. attorney said, because he secretly records people. And the attorneys were like, well, but Mike Wallace did that. I mean, Diane Sawyer did that. I mean,
isn't that the craziest part when you're sitting in the courtroom and you're watching these prosecutors spew?
What people need to understand, I think federal courts are this is not saying much, but I think Article 3, meaning federal judges, are the least corrupt aspects of America, because you still have some semblance of a First Amendment in this country. It's very difficult in federal court to make these arguments. So yeah, when you're sitting there and you're watching this stuff,
it's wild.
Surreal for you, surreal for me. But the judge, the federal judge in my case recently said, "Counselor, I'm limited by reality, common sense, and the Constitution." So it was refreshing to see that.
All right, James O'Keefe in studio. We take a quick break. We'll be right back.
I need support. We are maxed out, and I can do so much more in offense, guaranteed beat them even faster in court. And got this other stuff going on. I'll leave it that with the Justice Department, the good guys coming in, and the task force on weaponization, that I need funds. So I need you to go to thealexjonesstore.com, subscribe as your monthly donation for $30 a month as a VIP, and know you're doing that bare minimum of support, cancel any time. Not a very hard commitment. You just do it month to month. You charge $30, you're a VIP, and when you want a t-shirt or you want a supplement, you get it, because it'll just build up in your account. $40 to spend in the store. You spend 30, you get 40 automatic discounts on everything, special sales, special offers. I'm asking everyone to commit who's never supported the broadcast by buying anything to become a VIP today at thealexjonesstore.com. and then you know you're doing the monthly support. Ever have an issue, don't want to do it? Cancel. One click, it's your profile. But by being a VIP, you get massive discounts, special offers, and so much more at theyellowshinsword.com. And it's a way to show your support. We need your backing. I am 100% dauntless. If anything, I get overheated because I've got so much energy and I'm so angry at these people and it bleeds off into my life. I need your backing. I'm backing you. Quite frankly, if you don't back me and my crew, what we're doing, you're nuts. And I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying you're crazy. Evil hates this transmission. We've got their number. And if you don't back the organizations fighting with everything they've got for you, because we're all in this together, well, you've rolled over. You've run up the white flag, quite frankly. And that's what this is. People ask, man, thanks for fighting. Thanks for never giving up. Wow, why does it break your spirit? It intensifies my spirit. To know we're up against pure evil and we're turning the tide and we're winning. And then to know that if we don't fight hard, they're going to win and commit humanity to a nightmare of evil. You think stuff's bad now? You ain't seen nothing yet. Thank me for fighting for my own future and yours collectively? There's not even a question of fighting these people. Look at them. They've got to be opposed. People tend to think being persecuted is, oh, you want to stay away from that? Oh, so you want to stay away from the fight? No, it's like John Paul Jones said when he got commissioned as the head of the U.S. Navy, and Robert was starting, and he was writing to the Continental Congress. He said, I only want the fastest ships. I only want to be sent into the main war zones in direct action. They said, here, it's our fastest ship. Go out. And he goes out and engages and takes over all these British ships 2-3 times the size. It's a ramming straight into them. Well, that's what I want to do. I only want the fastest ships. I want to go directly into action. I want to go 24 hours a day. I want reporters all over the country. I want to be 50 times stronger against the enemy. I want 50 times the audience. I want victory. You think what we've done to the enemy's been effective so far? It's nothing. I have not yet begun to fight. So support yourself. Support us. Do it. Or be conscious that you didn't fight when the time was right. You hesitated. You took this as another entertainment venue, to some other show, just more talk. This ain't talk. This is the targeting coordinates to take down the enemy. This is the Death Star plans. This is Sting, the Goblin Slayer. They hate this blade. This operation is a sword that is plunged politically, culturally, spiritually into the hearts of our enemies over and over and over again. They hate it. It's a standard of their defeat. It's a symbol of their weakness. That's what we're doing here. This is serious business. So I'm coming to you, asking you to continue to commission us in this fight. We've already delivered you more victories against the enemy than any other media operation in the world. And I'm asking you again for all of our collective futures to come to our aid now more and take your fight to the 110% level. Tell the truth. Be accurate. Stand against evil. Have courage. Until it's not even having courage, it's what you are.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Delving deep into the heart of globalist plans, it's Owen Schroyer.
James O'Keefe in studio, O'Keefe Media Group. Honestly, you guys are working on so much stuff right now, it's hard for me to even keep up.
Yeah, we're putting out more work than we did at Project Veritas. We're putting out 2 reports a week. We just did Johnson & Johnson this week. We did the FBI sting, State Department, Pentagon, deep state guys behaving badly, fired every week. We're putting out a lot of material. And, you know, there's so much to talk about. Where do you want to begin?
Well, I would like to talk about the new series you're doing. But maybe before we get into that, because you do a lot of deep state exposures, I can't even imagine your frustration. But I get frustrated. I play your clips. I see the stuff they admit to your team. And I'm like, okay, where is the follow-up? Where are the investigations? Where are the hearings? Do you toss and turn wondering, like, why?
It's a good question. It's certainly the audience feels that righteous indignation that nothing happens to these people. Like, literally. I mean, we just talked about this. Stuff happens to us, but not to these people. And I can't control that. There's only so much I can do. I mean, I think journalism is supposed to lead to consequences, and otherwise it's you're pissing into the wind, you know, is the old saying. But all I can do is put the truth out there, but I think my pieces are not for people who agree with me. They're not necessarily for the audience watching this show. It's to persuade people on the margins that, like this Johnson & Johnson piece where the director, the lead regulatory scientist, actually says the vaccine is not safe or effective.
I mean, that's literally bombshell.
That's crazy. Now, this did not get as much play in the past. I don't think these videos, they're not getting as much. 10 years ago, it was like they would make mainstream media. But I'm trying to persuade people who don't know this or who don't assume this, because a lot of people tell me we already know this. We want blood.
Well, it's one thing for me to come out here and say, "Hey, the vaccine is unsafe," and then it's another thing for you to actually get the guy
saying it. The Johnson & Johnson lead regulatory scientist saying he's responsible for making sure the products are safe for their customers.
And that's at least three guys you caught up with the big pharma scandal.
We've done like 12. The FDA guy saying it was a revolving door. Today there's the baby powder cover-up. This is today's story.
Again with the baby powder?
Yes. This is him saying that it's not safe. And it's to your point, it's not us saying it. It's them saying it. But I think people, your audience, and I hope I speak for most of you because you told me this, they just want blood. They want, rightfully so. I think they want hangings, executions.
Politically.
Well, you know what I mean. You know, with the criminal justice system, you want justice. You want political justice, not revenge. But I think people want accountability, right? Political accountability.
You know what? That's such an astute thing for you to say because, you know, maybe this is where the Trump administration is just completely missing the ball. It's like, that's it. There's this pressure cooker building up. It's been building up, really, you could say, since at least 2016, but it's beyond that. But let's just say since 2016 with everything that was done to Trump. It's like we're in this political pressure cooker, and the pressure just keeps getting turned up. And it's like the only thing that's going to release this is actually arresting the deep state.
What's happened to me is people say, O'Keefe, we already know that. I mean, I'll say, well, not really. I mean, you might suspect it, but to see the guy inside the Pentagon say we're working with retired generals to see what we can do regarding Trump. That's bombshell. The fact that there's people in our own government who are trying to usurp or be insubordinate. That's
insurrect, dare I say?
Exactly. But I think when I see I've seen this recently, my own audience is like, we already know. We don't need to know. But I think the audience is missing something. I think you know. But this country is deeply divided. We can all agree upon that. I mean, they voted for Gavin Newsom in California. So, I mean, this country is deeply divided, and we don't all agree upon the facts. And they want our blood, right? And we want them to be in jail. They want us to be in jail. But that's no way of governing. James Madison warned us about that in Federalist 10. So we have to have some shared consensus about reality. That's why I do this. I want people to know the reality. And the reality is that the vaccine, in their own words, was not safe or effective. You might know that, but it's still important to prove it. We're doing more work than we've ever done. I mean, we have a smaller team. We don't have 75 people. We have 25 people.
Is it growing?
Oh, yeah. But slowly. And the mistake that I made, we've all made this mistake, is, you got to be real careful who's in your inner circle now.
Yeah.
And we have to have absolutely unbreakable people. It takes a lot of strength. And the report that we did on Prince Andrew, the one that blew up, I said I was scared. My undercover reporter was in fact scared. She recorded Prince Andrew's guy saying he's raped little children. And he admitted that. And it gave us a lot of pause. I was concerned. And I went dark for 2 weeks. I didn't tweet. The individual who recorded that, initially, there he is, John Bryan, Prince Andrew. The individual who recorded that hesitated to publish that. And I had to talk to them and I said, listen, this is going to inspire a lot of people. And as a result of publishing that story, we had the Epstein Island photos come to us. So this is very heavy stuff. And I think you have to really have an incredibly strong, tight team where people are not going to betray each other.
Yeah. Well, and I know that just from the 10 years I've worked here, but even for Alex, it's like that's such a crucial thing, too, just to have a crew here, which what we do is obviously different. But it's like even with just a live show like what Alex does, you got to make sure everybody's moving the same direction. And, you know, I was going to ask you this earlier, and I guess it kind of ties into what you just said. And it's a psychology issue. And it sounds like maybe that was the first time where you were kind of looking at your own approach to this and saying, wait, hold on. Because the way I look at it with certain things, it's like you always just move forward, right? It's just you only go one direction and forward. You can't sit here and deal with the past or deal with stuff that's on, you know, outside of your lines. So you just keep moving forward. It's like that's a psychology, just forward, forward, forward.
Right.
And it sounds like for you, it was like that was the first time in a while, or maybe, you know, since you've kind of been such a pro in this, we were kind of like, wait a second, maybe we need to just stop.
With the Epstein stuff, that Prince Andrew thing?
Yeah.
I think it was the spiritual heaviness. I was talking to Alex Jones about this today, which I just came from that room. It was like, whoa, this is heavy. Because I told Alex that the more successful you are at your job, like, okay, I'm going to bust Prince Andrew. Hell, I'm going to bust the truck. Can you imagine if we actually, don't imagine, hopefully we will, get the real truth and we publish it? Do you know how much of an enemy that will make us? Like, we become the target. And I think unless you're a sociopath, it has to bring you some sense of pause. Like, whoa, what am I getting myself involved in? Yeah. I mean, unless something's wrong with you. I think I got a lot of flack for saying how I felt at the time. People thought it was insincere. Okay. People thought I was being melodramatic, but I genuinely sometimes go, this is a little bit crazy, to do these stories. You guys had something up a moment ago. It was the Piers Morgan. If you want to pull that up, you can see John Bryan. This is the guy that worked for Prince Andrew. It was his comms director, his chief of staff guy. And he goes on Piers Morgan. And there it is. This is the John guy, Piers Morgan's interviewing Prince Andrew's guy, saying Prince Andrew was banging underage girls. Now, then he goes on Piers Morgan. Do you have the video on that page? This is one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen. The guy goes on, Piers Morgan, to his credit, is defending the report, saying, what are you doing admitting this? And the guy, John Bryan, who's recorded, goes, they got me. They got me. They're really talented undercover people. It was one of the few times, Owen, I've ever seen a subject of our investigation just admit to it. Usually they like deny it.
Or they run away.
They run.
Yeah.
They smash.
Seen plenty of that.
So it was interesting. Interesting. This guy admitted it, that what he said what he said, and it was true. So a lot more to say about that, but the British royal family there.
Well, here's why, and I don't know if this was your thought process when you were kind of giving it a pause and kind of going through your own emotions about it. It's like, okay, I have a wild imagination, let's say. I'm a conspiracy theorist. So I'm just looking at all the Epstein evidence, okay? I'm looking at all the money coming in. I'm looking at all the rich people he's working with, whatever. I'm looking at the sweetheart deals, spiking cases, all this stuff. And I'm looking at the island, okay? And it's like, wow, gee, this guy looks like multiple double agent, intelligence asset. He's a pedophile. You know, is that something these guys all have in common? You know, it's well known now. Okay, he likes younger girls. And then you get that video. And it's like, okay, Here's a guy who saw something, who was there saying, yeah, they're in there having sex with minors. This guy's working with Epstein. So it's just like, okay, bing. It's like, do you really think Prince Andrew was the only one? I'm not asking you that. I'm saying just, you know, generally.
It's a rhetorical question, and your point is well taken. It's common sense. You can't do this behavior. Even this guy, John, apparently knows about it. The guy that worked, you're going to have co-conspirators. You're going to have evidence. But to suggest there's no evidence is... I mean, when I was on the Turning Point main stage last weekend, I asked...
Well, that was a wild event.
Were you there?
No.
I have never seen anything like it, in the sense that I've never seen the conservative movement so fractured.
That was a turning point.
That was a turning point.
Yeah, that was literally a turning point.
You know, Charlie's a friend of mine, and I've been doing these turning point things for 10 years, and I got on stage, and I swear to you, I said, they put, you know that DOJ one page they put out where they said there's no evidence, no one did anything wrong, and you know... I put that up. I said, by show of hands, how many people think that they're lying? Every hand went up. And I was like, I've never seen the fracturing of the MAGA. I mean, the media always talks about it, but no.
No, this is real. It's very real.
This was crazy. And I go back to the Pam Bondi story. I really hesitated to do that story because, what is this? Jeffrey Epstein appeared to threaten Bill Gates over... Microsoft.
Well, Bill Gates is the one guy who doesn't have plausible deniability because he was hanging out with Epstein post the charges, the sex conviction charges.
Mm.
So that's what
was that the Wall Street Journal Was that today's story?
Yeah, it looked like it. No, that was 2020.
What is your reaction to this Wall Street Journal thing they did?
I think it's all a distraction.
Yeah.
I think it's a distraction. And if you look at it, because you understand media, so you kind of, you look at it from a bigger picture type of thing. Why is it that News Corp, both owned by Murdoch, it's like they have the New York Post saying, don't look at this. And then you have the Wall Street Journal saying, look at this. So to me, it's a giant psyop. It's a distraction to stop you from actually looking at Epstein.
Yeah.
Which everybody wants to know. You were just getting into it. You're at this event. That was probably the most relevant Turning Point USA event that I've ever seen in my 10 years in media covering these things. They do multiple ones every year. That was the most clipped out, the most epic speeches, the most like, okay, here's where the base is at. And so there's no denying it at this point.
And before we get to this clip, which I just think this is a very sublime moment, which we'll show in a moment, but I was struck by how you can measure the health of a republic and democracy. We're a democracy republic by whether people feel comfortable with saying the quiet part out loud. That's how you measure the health of that. And I think we would both agree that 5-6 years ago, people were not comfortable saying these things they're now saying.
I'd say that's a very fair,
including on the vaccine. I mean, people were afraid of being banned on YouTube. And now it's like, oh yeah, common knowledge. I don't get the jab, you know. And I think people are more comfortable. So let's have an optimistic tone here for a moment and recognize that the Turning Point event, people were really, they're going there. They're saying it. And credit to Charlie for allowing people to disagree and to do so. But this clip here, can we play this? This is Piers drilling the guy that we secretly recorded, saying that Prince Andrew is having sex with underage girls.
I mean, do you 100% believe Andrew when he says he didn't have sex with Virginia Giuffre?
I think, let me say it this way. Not only do I 100% believe him, but I absolutely know in my heart that it's not true.
Oh, well, this isn't the part. It's a different part of the interview where he's talking about the girl and being recorded and he said what he said, but we'll try to pull it up, but that was John Bryan, who worked for Prince Andrew, going on with Piers Morgan. And I think he's on drugs, by the way.
He does have a weird look.
Yeah.
It could just be the skinless deal.
No, I think it's, I can report to you today that the man is, he likes drugs.
Well, I guess, you know, you got to do something to put up with whatever you're doing running around with Prince Andrew and what you're witnessing.
It's hard to sleep with yourself. There's this one clip where I think I'm in the video. I'm looking at I'm watching them talk to each other. If the producers can find that, it's on our YouTube O'Keefe Media channel. But the Prince Andrew stuff was it gave us pause. And we're in one of those professions where the more successful that we are at our jobs, the worse it becomes for us, you know, because look at the scandal. There's either no story with Epstein, or at least not what they tell us. It's not as big as what they tell us, or the scandal is such that it could theoretically bring down the entire U.S. government.
Yeah. And not just, I mean, we're talking the billion, we're talking dozens of billionaires. We're talking multiple intelligence agencies.
Implicates big people. And if you tell this, if you show the truth, those organs, those bureaus, those institutions, those government institutions now have to try to destroy the messenger. So what we really have to conquer in this country is fear. And they will destroy the messenger. There's no question about it. The only way they don't destroy the messenger is if we all kind of rise together. And that's why I think the Turning Point, you're right, that was a turning point. We all rise together, stand up, say the same thing. We're not afraid. Now the president has come out, and is this the clip? This might be it.
Shadow of Ezra clip.
He must have taken it off our YouTube.
Let's give it a shot. Yeah, go ahead. Give it a shot. No? Okay, it's not working. We'll see if we can figure that out.
Yeah.
On that point, not only was the Turning Point USA kind of just like a moment in time, let's say, because that's considered mainstream conservatism, right? I mean, that's mainstream Republican conservatism. Like, yeah, this is a safe place for all conservatives to come just, you know, chatter about the same stuff. That was the first time where it was like leaning towards like, we're kind of anti-establishment. We're kind of like tinfoil hat conspiracy theorists now. It's like, it's only, and that's, I guess my point is that It's only going one direction. It's only going one direction. It's not. We're not going back.
No. No, but when you have a big tent too, which this has happened in the conservative movement, certainly there's libertarian voices, there's traditional voices, there's the tent's gotten bigger. I think you're going to see more fracturing within the tent. The my attacks in the beginning of my career were from the left, and now if to the extent that I am attacked, it's from the parts within the right. Maybe, you know what I mean?
And I know very well what you mean.
So that
kind of has to deal with stuff we talked about off air.
Correct. You're attacked from within, and that's happening more and more. And look at the other thing that's happened is that, you know, I think the rise of the individual. So before it was like a collection of people. Glenn Greenwald joined that. I forgot the name of the outfit that he was working with. You had Tucker Carlson on Fox News. You had Megyn Kelly on Fox News. And now everyone's kind of gone their individual way, and I think it's hard for institutions to stay cohesive. And what I saw was just the fracturing. And even the, you know, the Israel thing, it's a tough thing because there's, you know, you couldn't say that 5 years ago.
It's really mainstream now, though.
I mean, you couldn't.
That's another thing. That's only going one way.
You couldn't say. I mean, and you're going to have donors who are upset with these nonprofits for people saying that. I'm not taking a position. I'm just telling you the political reality, the political and economic reality, that there's a fracturing internally. And certainly the attacks that I've weathered, Project Veritas firing me, I mean, of all the things I've been through, I mean, that was by far the hardest and most discouraging and most disheartening thing. And you understand betrayal. It just hurts.
You know, there's two aspects of what you're talking about that I think are important that I kind of want to just for you to maybe express a little bit more. What I've noticed is, because this is, you're just reporting facts, right?
Yes.
Whether it's for the right, for the left, like it's not even that. It's just, this is what it is, right? It's just, this is what it is. So what I've noticed now is that there's this certain segment, if we want to be specific, it's a certain segment of MAGA, let's say, but it could be any group. It's just depending on the time. There's always going to be a certain segment of a political body or movement that can't really do neutral news. They want just what they want to hear. Like they want nothing but Trump is the best ever. And if you're not giving them that, then they backlash on you. So I think, you know, I know I'm getting that right now. And then another one, and again, we kind of talked about this off air, but I would kind of expand on a little bit. I also get the feeling that a lot of it is being driven by, if I want to get real conspiratorial, a lot of it is getting driven by, it's a paid operation. It might be a foreign operation. It literally, these people could be blackmailed for things that they've been caught doing on the internet. I mean, because some of it's so wild, and you look at some of these people, and you're like, this behavior almost doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, I have names in mind, and I don't know if I should mention.
No, we don't need to name names
on the
right
air
now.
But I won't name names. But I'll give you. I can only speak from personal experience, and I think telling stories is the best way to get the message to people because it helps them understand. There was an FBI agent who I won't name, former FBI, whatever that means. Some say if you're with the CIA, you're always with the CIA. And he published, he got access to my then girlfriend and I were in a relationship and we were flirting sexually. And he published all of my messages between my girlfriend. And I mean, what in the world? I mean, we all have relationships. If you're married, wasn't cheating. It was just a consensual relationship with my girlfriend. And he published the most intimate things, you know, from our bedroom. And every comment was, are you nuts, man? Like, why are you going after James this way? This makes you look bad, obviously. And it led to questions. And the question I have is, well, maybe they're doing that to try to get, you know, kind of get inside my head, right? They're trying to wear you down. They're trying to break you. They're trying to, and any one of these things on its own isn't that big of a deal, but it's like kind of like, like you're saying, it's kind of like an op. Like, let's just like hurt this guy. Let's remove him from his company. Let's publish his private messages. Let's raid his apartment. Let's put him in prison. Let's recruit people to sue him. And I think the op is, and a lot of the comments on X, let's be real, are not real people. You know, so.
Or they're just like copy and paste, essentially.
Or that, or they're an op.
But that, I guess that's a good way for me to kind of rephrase it. It's like when you've been doing what you've done enough, and not just in the media, but I mean, just in the political world,
yeah.
Just being in the political world beyond just the media, it's like you start to have a little discernment and you can kind of determine, it's like, okay, this over here is organic, right? This person over here, right. This group over here, this is organic. Okay. But then it's like this over here, this is not organic.
That's right. And that's exactly That's exactly. Do you find that it's becoming more easier to discern that for you?
Yeah. Well, I think through time and experience, your discernment gets a little better. But specifically in this moment, I feel it's so bifurcated mm-hmm. that it's like the ops are just so obvious now. It's like the ops are just so obvious. It's not even subtle.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've been through a few of those myself, and it goes back to full circle to Epstein regarding the confidential sources and methods. That's the quote. We protect our sources and methods. Maybe it's time for us to reveal the FBI's sources and methods. But if you're Kash Patel, very good man, I believe him to be a good man. I've met him. I don't know him very deeply, but I have no reason to believe he's not a good man. But if I put you as a head of the FBI, and I believe you to be a good man, I think you would fail. Not because you're not a good man, and not because you can't lead it, but it stands to reason that how are you supposed to lead a bureaucracy which is so filled with evil
and has no trust
and no integrity?
I'd shut it down. So I guess that might be a failure. I don't know, but I'd just shut it. I'd say we're done.
Wasn't he going to move it to Nebraska?
He talked about shutting it down too. No, well, he said they were going to move it out of the building. Then they ended up getting a bigger building, more expensive.
You know, the IRS commissioner said to me,
he wants a new jet now too. There's a lot of stuff there, but
yeah, that one I don't know if I would. You know, that's kind of not the biggest issue. I think the IRS commissioner said to me something to the effect: if you only get to hire four people, you have 80,000 employees. You get to hire four people. So you're telling me that I'm going to come into a shop with 80,000 people, 40% of whom are trying to subvert me and, you know, betray me. I mean, this is a tautology. You can't have an effective governing strategy. No, I don't care who you are. You're Pam Bondi. She may not be as bad as people think. Kash Patel may not be a bad guy, but you can't go in there and run the agency so maybe it's time for us to reveal some of these confidential methods that they're using for the good of society. No one has been arrested, right? No one in the deep state has been held accountable yet. Nobody.
And I think that's why. So that's part of the political pressure cooker. No deep state arrests. But when you talk about maybe it's time to reveal, they're obviously not ready for that time. And that's why they're trying to cover this Epstein deal up.
Well said. I'd love to talk to you about that TV series we're doing.
Yeah, let's do that on the other side of this break. And also, we'll finally play the clip that I'm sure you get a lot of pleasure out of when
I just
at least he admits
that.
It.
One of only three times in my career, a guy has come out and said, "You got me. I said it. I got." Maybe it's because he's on drugs. I don't know.
Well, maybe we can do an analysis of his body language of this short break. He definitely he's got a really hyped up look, but you know, some people are just hyper people. It's kind of he kind of looks like a Siamese cat. I think it's this.
Let's play that. You started playing it now.
Yeah, we'll play it. We're up against a short break here. We'll be right back. We'll play that clip and talk about your new series.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease. And what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy as a functional medicine guy, and he got me on methylene blue. And that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well.
And yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it, and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MAOI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule that should have two hydrogens on it. And like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1, it's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue. And this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning. Next level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS Shilajit. This right here. Look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food. Stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.